Well, it's nice to be able to come up here and say it is well with my soul.
Hey, man.
And my question before I even get into it, is it well with your soul?
Yes, it is.
If it's not well with your soul, what'd you do with it, what you heard last night? Did you think about it?
Good.
Well, did you let God work in your heart today? Can it be well with your soul tonight? It can. That's up to you. It's well with my soul, and I'm sure there's people here that is well with their soul, and it's a serious matter. But I thank God. You know, ministry is going in a different direction than what I thought. It's going to be a challenging direction, but I believe the Lord's in it, and it's growing pretty quickly. It's getting to be a lot for me and Amy, and the Lord's just going to have to send people the help with. Thank you again, Zach. I appreciate it, bro. That's right. Bow down. Hurry up. And but I do thank God for what's going on in the ministry. And I thank God that when we got there, there was a very few. I think one or two King James Bibles. I may be off a little bit, but I'm pretty close. But since we've been there just over 2 years, April made 2 years, we've gotten almost six cases of Bibles in there. That's in the people's hands. They said, can you bring Bibles in? Yes, I can bring Bibles in, but they put them on a shelf. So what I've done is I said, hey, you give me your name and I'll send it directly to you. So now I know those Bibles go directly into their hand. And by doing that, and again, I've let the people with the NIVs and everything else come into the services. Because I'd rather have them sit there and listen. If the Spirit of God can't convince them through the Word of God, what am I going to do for them?
Good.
Zero. So I let them come in there. Now they know where I stand. I make it clear that I do not believe what you have sitting in front of you as the Word of God. It is a book to me. It doesn't even have the honor to be called a Bible. Okay, it's a book. It's written by man. It's his knowledge, and that's what it is, okay? And so I'll sit there and let them sit there, and I'll bring them through things, and I'll show them different words, and I'll show them different things between our Bible and their Bible. And I'm just telling you, they'll walk up to me after service, and they'll say, you know, I'm tired of not having the right Bible. Will you send me one? Okay? And that's just how it's been for the last 2 years. And I thank God that God has moved in their hearts, okay? Because when Dale Moore gets up there, I can not help him as much as God can, okay? And so, and then the devotional. What's going on with the devotional is it's growing huge. We probably got, I don't know, what are we sending out? Close to 40 plus every 2 weeks people. We deal with people in state prisons, federal prisons, and I'm talking all over the country. As far as California out there, Cochran State Prison and all that, we've had them. Down in federal prisons in Pennsylvania, New York, both federal and state prisons and such. And a fascinating thing was so out of nowhere, I got a letter from a guy who was in a county jail out near us, Steuben County Jail, which is about an hour from where we're at. And I just didn't recognize the name. I opened the letter and I read it, and he said, Dale, I said, I was in the Allegheny County Jail 2 years ago. He said, I got out and got myself in trouble. He said, but I remembered you and that Bible you preached. And he goes, I memorized your address. Or if I ever got in trouble again, I can get a hold of him. That's what he did. And just with him being in there, we've gotten six new people in the jail that I've never even stepped foot in. Okay, I've got six new people. Six new Bibles been sent in. Six more devotionals being sent in. So I thank you guys for you who are praying. I do thank you guys who are supporting us through that, because it is growing. It's growing in God's time. Okay, right. And when he opens doors, he's going to open it for what he wants, for his glory. It has nothing to do with me, but I thank you guys for what you're doing. And I thank God for what he's doing, first and foremost. So tonight I want to do something a little different. I want to do a little lesson slash preaching. Okay, I want to do a little teaching slash preaching. So if you would turn with me to Leviticus chapter 15. And I love studying the laws. I love studying the tabernacle and such. And it just has opened my eyes to many things that goes on in the New Testament. I really believe that if a person would take the first five books of Leviticus and side by side study the book in Hebrew at the same time, it would open your eyes to many things. It's a blessing to have that kind of study. And you know, even I've went through and I've drew the whole tabernacle. I put everything in place by hand, and I went through and I labeled everything, labeled the inventory list, and so on and so forth. And it was fascinating to find out the things that God has taught me. And what I'm going to teach here tonight out of Leviticus chapter 15, most of you might catch on, maybe not. We'll see what happens in the New Testament with Leviticus chapter 15, starting in verse 19. And it says, "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be unclean until the even." Verse 22, and it says, "And whosoever toucheth anything that she sat shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And if it be on her bed or on anything wherein she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until even. If any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed wherein he lieth shall be unclean." Verse 25, "And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of her issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereupon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she toucheth and sitteth upon shall be unclean as uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever shall toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even." Zach, could you pray for this service, please?
Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you for Brother Dale. We thank you, God, for keeping everybody safe and allowing us to make it in here tonight, Lord. God, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would touch your man, God, that I pray, your God, that again tonight, Lord, that you would use him. God, that our ears would be open. God, that our ears would be circumcised to hear the truth. God, our hearts would be prepared to hear the truth. Dear God, I pray that you would help us tonight, oh God. God, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of those that are lost. God, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of those that are saved, God, that they will draw nigh unto God. You said if we draw nigh unto you, that you would draw nigh unto us. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give each and every person in here a desire to seek the things of God, to walk with God. And God, I pray that you'd do that work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. God, help us. Amen.
Amen. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 5. We see here in the book of Leviticus 15 that there's a law for that woman who has that issue of blood and the separation and the uncleanness that comes about it. I just want you to know it's just something fascinating that I've seen studying out that those verses that I read to you. And every time it talks about he touching her, it's never a woman touching a woman or anything. It's always about a man touching a woman. Okay. And so I just thought that was quite interesting that he never said anything about a woman going in and touching her, but it was always a man touching her, sitting on anything she sat on and such. But anyway, turn with me to Mark chapter 5 and go to verse 25 through 30. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 30. And we're going to see a woman here. And it says this, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. So we see right off the bat, this woman is unclean. According to the law, she's already unclean. According to the law, she can't be around anybody, but yet she's out in the square. Okay? Something's got her out there. In verse 26, it said, "Had suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." Verse 27, "And when she had heard of Jesus, and came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, who hath touched my clothes?" According to the Leviticus chapter 15, the woman in Mark 5 would have been alone for 12 years. She would have been shunned by her family. She would have been home and shunned by her community and those living in her home. And according to the law, she would have been kept separate. Okay, it wasn't just the issue of blood didn't go away in 7 days, and God made a provision. Do you see where it says if that woman go her issue go beyond those 7 days, that she had to follow the same exact thing that she would if it was that she had the 7 days. So for 12 years, how about that? For 12 years, she is by herself. For 12 years, she can't go out in the community. For 12 years, she's out there. She can't go around her people. She can't go around her family. That's a pretty lonely place. I think she was pretty desperate. Anybody or anything that would have made any contact with her, according to the law, would have been made unclean, but not Jesus. Why? Why didn't Jesus become unclean when he touched her? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He took this sin upon himself. Okay? Why? Jesus Christ is going to say something here to show everybody why he didn't become unclean. And I'm going to build it. I'm going to show a little something. I'm going to teach a little something here that right now, as we speak in Mark chapter 5, that lady would have been unclean according to the law. She's guilty. She's guilty of being unclean. And here she is out in public. She's not supposed to be there. She's supposed to be kept separated.
That's exactly right.
Okay? It goes on here and it says, Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. When that woman touched him, all that her issue came upon him. You see, Isaiah 53 was a prophecy that Jesus Christ fulfilled. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus Christ says, "Think not that I come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill." That had to happen. He had to show them that, listen, he wasn't just an ordinary person. He wasn't going to be made unclean with that thing. Why? Because he was going to be able to take that upon himself because he was fulfilling that law and that prophets. Okay? And a lot of people get caught up in just going out there, and you hear it all the time. We have prophecy conferences and prophecy this and prophecy that. That's not what Jesus Christ said. He said the laws and the prophets.
Right.
It is unto us, it's our responsibility as Christians to know that law. How else are you going to know what Jesus Christ fulfilled? How do you know what he fulfilled? I tell you, I'm coming pretty close to being able to point out every single law that he fulfilled. Because I like to study that. That's one of my things that I love to study. I know the prophecies. I can run back and forth. You know, that's nothing anymore. I want to know the laws and the prophecies. I want to know what made him so special. That not only did he fulfill those prophecies, but he also was able to fulfill those laws. You know, Jesus Christ, you guys know that in the Old Testament, in the first five chapters of Leviticus, that's where you'll find your sacrifices. And there's times when a sacrifice had to be killed. Is there any other way that a sacrifice had to be dispatched? Yes, there's another way. One had to be slain. So now we know that Jesus Christ had to fulfill the law of a sacrifice being killed, and now he's got to fulfill one as also being slain. And let me just tell you the little difference here. The difference in between killing a sacrifice was somebody who did a sin ignorantly. If you'd done it and you didn't know and somebody pointed out to you or the Spirit of God showed you, you would have to kill that sacrifice. It wasn't done on purpose. But if you went out there and intentionally sinned, if you went out there and said, "I don't care what God says, I don't care what his law says, I'm going to go out there and do what I want to do," now you come to repentance, now that sacrifice has to be slain. What's the difference? It's the violent intent behind it. You can kill somebody on accident. You can go out there and try to get revenge on somebody and end up killing them on accident. You didn't mean to do that. It was an absolute accident. You could run somebody over. Did you mean to run that person over? No, you did, but you killed them. But slain. When you slay somebody, it's the violent intent behind of the harm that you were to cause that person. So when that sacrifice is being slain, God is showing you how serious he is against that sin. He's serious against that sin that you go out there every single day and you knowingly commit it. God had to slay that sacrifice to let you know that he hates it. That he's got a violent intent. He's got a violent thoughts about that sin. He doesn't like that sin. Here's the difference. If I was going to slay somebody, not only am I going to, I'm going to come up to him, I'm going to shoot that person, I'm going to stab him in the head 50 times, I'm going to run him over with my car, and then I'm going to burn him. It's the violent intent. That's how God looks at sin. Now, how did Jesus Christ fulfilled being killed and slain. He had to do it. If not, he would have never fulfilled the laws. The Roman soldiers, they were doing their job when they nailed him on the cross. They were doing their job when they beat him with the cat of nine tails. They killed Jesus. Who slayed him then? The Jews. Crucify him. Crucify him, that violent intent. Not only did they want him to crucify him, but they wanted him to beat him. They wanted him to beat him so they're ripping his skin off his back. You see, the violent intent about the whole thing was that the Jews wanted him hung on a cross. And I'm just telling you now, the death, the crucifixion, the death on that cross was a horrible, violent death. That's how Jesus Christ fulfilled both of those prophecies. Both those laws. He was killed by the Roman soldiers because they did their job. They did not know, they did not understand who and what they were killing. But I tell you what, those Jews did.
That's right.
A commentary didn't teach me that, by the way. I got in my Bible and I studied that. And the Spirit of God sat down with me and he showed me that. You say, is that important? It is important.
Sure.
It's very important. I'm trying to show you and build the foundation of how important, even in the New Testament, how important the law is to help us to understand things. Why Paul teaches the way he does. Why Jesus teaches the way he does. Why they do the things they do. How could Jesus get away with being touched with that unclean woman? How could that happen? Because he's fulfilling the laws and the prophets. He has to do that. It's got to be. Isaiah 53. How would he fulfill Isaiah 53 if that sin was not put on him? How would he ever do that, Zach? He would have left something unfulfilled. It wouldn't have happened. But God, how about a God? How about a God that says this? I want you to come lay your sins on me, and I'll give you my virtue. What a trade-off. What a trade-off. You, every single thing that you ever did, Dale, all those thoughts inside of you, every single thing that you've done outwardly, you go ahead and give them to me and I'll give you my virtue. And by the way, just let me say this. There's not a person that ever did live, that's living now, or ever will live, that was born with virtue. Virtue only comes at salvation. A human being does not have virtue. That's something that's a gift of God. That's something that happens at salvation. Pastor Randall always used to say, and I forgot the number, 100-some-odd things happen instantly at salvation. Virtue is one of them. Virtue is one of those things you get at salvation. Now what do we got to do? We got to put it to work. 2 Peter, I think Autumn memorized the verse in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. It says, with all diligence, add to your faith. We know he's talking about a saved person. Why? Because he says, add to your faith. He didn't say have faith. Add to your faith. The very first thing he says, virtue. What do you mean? That's the gift that Jesus Christ gave you. Now you've got to make that thing come alive. Add to your faith virtue. According to Leviticus 15, verse 19, the issue is a physical part of the body. It's something that's going on with the person's body. It's a physical part of the body. And it says here, and if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be apart 7 days, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until even. So we see that in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So this woman, according to what is just said here, an issue is a physical part of the body. I'm going to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to do that. And so we see again in Mark chapter 5, 25 and 26, that this woman has that same issue of blood that God was dealing with back in Leviticus chapter 15. And now it says, people who continue to turn to the world for help, for their addictions and depressions, etc., usually get worse and worse and not better. I struggled for many years with addictions, with depression, and I suffered and only grew worse. Why? Because those people kept me sick. Mental hospitals, rehabs, and all that. They kept me sick. I could never get to that point of recovery. I struggle with that. Why? Because Jesus Christ made a point here. He says, listen, when you're seeking those positions, you're going to get worse and worse. It's not going to get better. And it goes on here and it says that they kept me sick. They loaded me up with the pills. They could only deal with my issues. But it goes a whole lot farther than that. It goes on a whole lot farther than just issues. It goes a whole lot farther than just the physical thing.
That's right.
2 Chronicles 16:12 and 13 says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in one in the 40th year of his reign. Why did he die? Because he left God out of it and went to the physicians. He's seeking help in this world. This world's never going to help anybody. It can't help anybody. Why? Because all this world can do is try to help people with the issue. It goes deeper than the issue. I stand here tonight. I mean, I don't know how many rehabs and mental hospitals and everything else besides jail that I went in. And you know what? Every time I went in there, there's a psychiatrist and psychologist. You know, I go in and I tell them my issues.
Sure.
You know why? Because a man, a human being, cannot see past the issue. But until this woman came to the end of herself and her efforts, until she came to the point when she realized this is not working, she would have stayed that way for as long as she lived. She would have kept going after those positions. 12 years of spending everything she had on the physicians, and it says she only got worse. You think, my goodness, she would have realized it's just not working, but you know what? We don't realize that. We're blind to that fact. We're blind to the fact that the people in this world, hey, there's some things that can help some people in this world. I'm not saying all is bad. But let me just tell you this. Just like King Asa, he sought the physicians and left God out of it. And you know what it did, Zach? You know what it does to people in America? It kills them spiritually, and most likely it'll end up killing them physically. God gave us physicians, no doubt about that. But when the physicians become God to a person, there's a problem. Everybody's heard Jesus Christ, oh, the divine physician. Do you really believe that? Then why is he always the last one we turn to? Why is it? And then when we come to Jesus Christ, you know where we're coming? We're trying to come at him with the issues, our physical problems. Jesus Christ isn't worried about our issues.
That's right.
The issues for him are nothing. I want you to read this, and it says here that Mark 5:27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. But she heard of this man named Jesus, and her belief, I want you to see what her belief did. Her belief made her break God's law. Her belief said, hey, I'm going out there after this man Jesus Christ. I'm going to go out there because he can make me whole. There's people sitting in this room that know right now if they turn to Jesus Christ, they can be healed and refuse to do it. She made her way to Jesus Christ. She went out of her way. She didn't care about the crowd. She didn't care about the shame. She didn't care about anything. She said, I'm going to get to this Jesus. I'm getting to him because he can make me whole. Oh, if we could have people in the churches come to that point where they see that Jesus can make them whole. They were fighting their way to Jesus. Anybody fighting their way to Jesus? I know I didn't. I'm guilty. When she heard of Jesus, came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. She fought through the crowd. She fought through the shame and the despair to get to Jesus, and nothing or no one was going to stop her. The Bible says that these type of people in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. She was going after him. She didn't care about nothing else. She had her eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, and she was going for it. She's a woman. probably young, small in stature, probably been separated 12 years, weak and depressed and ashamed because of what she had, because of an issue of blood. And she says, I'm going to Jesus. And she knew exactly what was on her. And you know what? Jesus knew she was coming. Nothing was going to stop her. If we could convince people today to get after Jesus like this woman, people in their lives would be changed dramatically. But you can't get somebody to go after Jesus because they don't want Jesus. They like holding on to that issue. They hold on to it like it's your best friend. You say, how can you say that? Hey, let me just say this. Hate, bitterness, and anger were my best friends. I held on to them like they were my best friends. They never let me down. They got me through everything. They got me through every single bit of everything. They got me through my addictions. They got me through the hurt and the relief that I got from hurting people. That's what they did for me. They were my best friends. They helped carry me through things. They helped build walls. They helped build walls that was never going to be torn down by a man. How many walls did man ever tear down for me, Amy, since I've been with you? You ask Amy, she sat there when that psychiatrist told me this. Mr. Morey, I don't know what else I can do for you. And I'm on all kinds of medicines, I'm on pills, I'm going to see counselor after counselor after counselor. How many counselors do you think I went through, Amy? And they all just looked at me and said, I don't know how to help you. Because all I could bring was my issues. Human beings can't help you with your issue. Because there's something deeper than that issue. No one told her to just trust Jesus. When she heard of him and what he could do, she listened for herself and she believed, and it made her fight to get to Jesus at any cost for her healing. How about it? Are you willing to go to Jesus at any cost? Are you willing to pay that price because you believe? Because belief demands an action. If I said, I'm going to take a little toll here. How many people really believe this Bible? And really, you know what? I bet you almost every one of you will raise your hand. Then why aren't you fighting to get to Jesus then? Why is it so hard for you to do that? Why is it so hard to get to him? It made her fight at any cost. Believing demands an action, and actions speak louder than words. And actions show that she wanted to get to Jesus and what he had to offer at any cost. She knew she was desperate in her human state. How about that? How many of you think you're desperate in your human state? I asked you last night, how many of you guys prepared your heart for the service? How many read their Bible? How many said, God, I need your help? How about, did you get desperate last night? Did you think about it today? Did you let God get you desperate? Until you become desperate in your human state, you'll never turn to God. You'll hold on to that issue, and you'll hang on to that thing, and it'll be your best friend, and it'll walk to, you know what, it'll even get you in hell. That's your free ticket to go to hell. You want to hold on to that issue. She knew she was desperate in her human state, but she had to see that for herself. And guess what? It wasn't instant. It took her 12 years to see that. Thank God we have some men, Pastor John, you and a few other men, who will be patient and let the Holy Ghost of God convict people. They won't try to cram something down their throat and give them something that's fake. How many men used to come up to me? Men, I mean talking men of God, who come up to me and try to just convince me and Amy that we are saved. No, I'm not saved. Yes, you are. Don't you worry about it. You're saved. No, I'm not. You're going to send me to hell telling me that. Mm-hmm. You're okay. No, I'm not okay. I knew I wasn't okay. You know why? That was a man telling me one thing. But I knew in this Bible that it could convince me what God wanted me to be convinced of. Man couldn't convince me that I was saved, but the Bible does. Man couldn't convince me that I'm saved, but the Bible did. It's not a man's business to go and tell somebody whether they're saved or lost. That's God's business.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Ghost business. That's his job. It's a man telling somebody they're lost or saved. Well, that's just the devil. Who are you to tell somebody that? At this point, she only seen and knew of her issue. And this is where most people are blind today. They only see the outward things they do. But God is trying to show them the inward parts. And I shared with you last night, Proverbs 20:27, that there's a light in the inside trying to show the inward parts of the belly. Listen, let me tell you something. People are stuck with their issues. They're stuck seeing the outward things they do. God's not trying to show you that. God's trying to get deep inside of you. He's not worried about your issues. Once God gets the inside and shows you what you are, says the outward will change. It's backwards today. People are changing the outward and not the inward, and they wonder why they end up in the same depressions, with the same addictions, with the same inner turmoil that they've always had, because they're not seeing the right thing. They're only seeing the issue. They're holding on to it. It's their friend. It's easy to be vain. That means it's easy to pretend you are something you're not. It's easy to sit in the pews and pretend that you are something you're not. It's easy to pretend that you think that you have something that you really don't. It's easy to be fake. We've learned how to do that. That's what our issues do. It helps us to be able to pretend. It helps us to be able to blend in. The outward a part of a person's life, but their insides are still full of dead men's bones, as we read last night in Matthew 23, verse 25 through 28. People are trying to come to Jesus Christ with their issues, but it goes deeper than that. You can't come to Jesus with your issues. There's something missing, and you just don't see it. And Jesus is going to expose it in that lady. She came to him with the issue of blood, did she not? Well, let's read the next verse then. Mark 5, 29. And said straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the what? Oh, the plague. Where did she feel that at? On her outside where the issue is? No, she did not. She felt it on the inside. The plague, that sin nature, the very thing that God's trying to get at, that very thing he's trying to crumble in your life, and you won't see it. She came to Jesus with issues. And he healed the plague.
That's good.
Jesus Christ is trying to heal the plague. He can care less about the issues because he knows once he takes care of that plague, the issues are going to start going away.
Sure.
But everybody's coming to Jesus. Let me get on the altar. Oh, God, please save me. Oh, God, please help me, Jesus. And all they're doing is bringing the issues to him. Stop with it. Let him show you what that plague is. And he wants to heal it. Jesus just revealed to her the plague. He had to show her that issues, the physical outward part of her, were just the surface of the real problems. That she had a plague, which was the inward spiritual part of her. Jesus don't want to just heal the surface issues. He wants to get to the core. He wants to get that plague that is plaguing every man, woman, and child. But all they see is an issue, and it drives them from seeking the help of the Lord. It drives them to the wrong place. And if they understood that there was a plague, if they would get to Jesus just like this woman did, if they could only see that it's the plague that needs to drive them and not the issues. But they can't see it. They refuse to. They keep blowing the candle out. Just like Paul shook off that serpent. Well, when God starts showing you something, you walk out these doors, you shake it off. How many times are we going to continue to shake it off? How many times are we going to continue to shake it off? And God is saying, look at this plague. You think it was easy for her to see that? She'd been through a lot. I've been through a lot. And Jesus Christ, before I could get saved, had to show me my plague. He finally had to show me, Dale, can't be the issues anymore, my friend. Now we're going to get down to business. I could have done the same thing that I always did. I could have shook it off. I could have stopped it and said, you know what? You're right. It's just the devil confusing me. You're right. It's just the devil's me. You're right. Sir, you're absolutely. Thank you for telling me that I'm saved. Thank you so much for telling me I'm saved. And God is grieved. Yeah. Crying. Okay. There's something more than those issues, man. There's something I got to get at in there. And it's killing you. It's tearing you apart physically. It's tearing you apart spiritually. If you just let me get in there and show you, past, if you just forget about those issues, forget about those things that you already know, and open up to me, let me get in there and show you and reveal it to you. You notice that after Jesus Christ told her about her plague and he healed it, she never said another word after that. How about that? She had no excuse. It was over with. Psalm 62:11 says, "But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." Romans 3:19 says, "Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth shall be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Her mouth was stopped by the law, and she was seeing herself the way Jesus needed her to see. And that's why she got forgiveness and the healing of not only her issues, but her plague. And her mouth was stopped and shut up. It was over with. She never said another word. When God shows a person that plague, there's no more excuses. It's over with. They become guilty before God. I became guilty before God. I finally was able to stop saying, well, it's because of that. It's because of that situation. No, it's because of that. Because of that person. No, because of that. My mouth is shut up. And God said, "You're a rebel against me." Done. Over with. It was done and over with. October 10th, 2011, 90 and a half East Main Street, in front of my couch, I got born again, gloriously born again, and my mouth was shut for the first time. That was a painful place to get, wasn't it, Amy? It's painful to get there to see that thing. It's painful to finally see, man, it's not been my issues this whole time. And that plague was deep inside of me. God had to get him to show that to me. You know why? Because he was being mean to me? Is that what you think? That God's trying to be mean to a person doing that? My goodness, no, he's saving your soul for eternity. It's his love that drives him to do that. Are you kidding me? It's his love that drives him to show you that plague. It's not being mean. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. You know what everybody's caught up in, Pastor? God, worldly sorrow. It says worldly sorrow worketh death. Both spiritually and physically. Hey, how about this? But when godly repentance comes, guess what it works? Life. How about that? You see, people are sorry for what they've done on earth. They're sorry for what they've done against the person or the things they may have done or used. Or they're sorry for that. You know what it does? It breaks the heart for a little bit. But let me just tell you this. Worldly sorrow never changed a person, and it never will. It takes godly sorrow to lead somebody to repentance. Godly sorrow to lead somebody to repentance. This worldly sorrow is never going to do you any good. It's just going to make you feel sorry. But let me just tell you something. You'll feel even more sorry burning in hell. Because you want to hold on to your little issue there. You want to hold on to that thing that may have been done to you as a child. I've had that stuff done to me. And let me just tell you this now. God's going to roll that out of your life. He's going to open your eyes to your plague.
Sir. Yes, sir. God help us.
Her mouth had to be stopped by the law. Her mouth had to be stopped. That law is there for a reason. Paul said the law is a schoolmaster to bring us under Christ. If you will not let God bring you under the law and show you what you are, forget it.
Yes, sir.
You've got to be brought under the law. You've got to be brought into condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Then what's that mean for those who are not in Christ Jesus? You're under condemnation. Can't you see that?
Right.
What did we say last night was the beginning of wisdom? Wasn't that the fear of God? Did anybody get some new fear since last night? I sure hope so. I would. So what? God let you walk out these doors last night. Does that mean he will tonight? You go ahead and keep playing Russian roulette with God.
All right.
So all it is playing Russian roulette. Hey, God knows if that person's really wanting the truth or not. He knows when it's time to flip that switch. That's a sad thing to know that. Because God's doing everything in his power to do the same thing that this lady got with Jesus Christ. And he's going to show you the plague. If you'll just let go of the issues. You can't come to Jesus Christ with the issues. He's not going to take. He's not worried about the issue. He's not worried about our outward physical things. He can take care of those. Those are no problem for him.
Right.
Mankind, including Baptists, are too busy trying to fix issues, not knowing that the issues are only an outward sign of the deep inward problems of the plague. Mankind can't touch the deep root of the real problems, but Jesus can. But so many are self-medicating. They're numbing the hate and the bitterness with the addictions, the behaviors, or seeking doctors and medicines and turning to self-help called religion. People are trying to fix their issues with religion. They're trying to numb it with religion, and it's not going to work, my friends. I tried religion many times over, and this, let me tell you this now. A man can only, he can't even help you with your issues. How is he going to help you with your plagues? They are never able to get to the real problems, which is the plague within the person. The deep-rooted hate and bitterness and the sin. That nature. That thing that God is trying to expose. He's trying to see. Do you see this woman here? She had an issue of blood. And you know what? That issue of blood made her guilty under the law. What's your issue? What's your plague? What are you guilty in God's eyes for? There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. Y'all know it. You know, there's a difference, Brother Steve. There's a difference between knowing Scripture and being of the living. There's a difference between knowing Scripture and hearing Scripture and listening to Scripture. You guys hear my voice. Loud and clear you hear my voice.
But you know when you listen to Scripture? When it changes your life.
Right.
Listening demands an action. Listening means something's going to happen. You can hear all day long. And the book of James says, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer. Why? Because being a doer means you're listening to what God is telling you.
Right.
Belief and listening, they demand an action. Something has to take place. Something's got to go on when you listen to what God is saying. Something's got to happen when your ears become uncircumcised and you finally realize, my goodness, God's trying to show me this plague.
Jesus literally took her sin upon himself. He was her propitiation. And let me tell you something. The colleges and commentaries and all, they get all that messed up. Propitiation is the place that we bring our sin to. Okay? It's a place just like the altar back in the Old Testament. They brought the sacrifice to the altar for what? Forgiveness of sin. That's the same thing Jesus is. He's the place we bring our sin to. He's the place we bring our sins to. He is that for every single person. He is that propitiation to bring our sins to. Romans 3:22, and I'm going to close here in a minute. Romans 3:22 through 26. I want to read that. Romans 3:22 through 26. And I want you to listen to the words here. So much confusion out there with people. They don't read their Bible. They don't listen to the words. They don't understand what it's saying. But I want you to hear this in Romans 3:22 through verse 26. And it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that. By faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith in Jesus Christ. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? And I'll explain that in a minute. And it says, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that trust. No. For all them that believe. You understand that? God had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and he gives it to everyone who believes. God put his faith in the blood of Jesus Christ to give salvation to every one of those who believe. And it goes on here and it says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Excuse me, I went the other way. For there is no difference at the end of 22. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, for whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them which trust in Jesus? No. Believeth in Jesus. Believeth in Jesus. People are being duped into trying to trust Jesus for nothing. They can't trust in who they don't believe in. I will never, ever let that go the rest of my life. I will always go out there and I'm going to preach that belief in Jesus Christ and not trust, because I know it's a hang-up for so many people. The problem is they just can't see it. And I'm willing to preach it. I'm willing to preach it. Because I want people to realize why they're being hung up. Why they're being hung up. Just as they did in the Old Testament. They brought their sin offering to the altar. This is what Jesus wants to her, and it's to us, the people today. He traded his sin for, he traded her sin for his virtue, for his healing and forgiveness, as we read in Mark chapter 5, verse 30 through 34. And I want you to notice something in verse 33 there of Mark chapter 5. It says, knowing what was done in her, there was no doubt in her mind of what was done to her. She knew that. She said, now, listen, she didn't say knowing what was done outside of her. She knew that something happened inside of her. Why? Because he didn't just touch the issue there, Zach. That plague was inside of her. And that's what it says there in Mark chapter 5, verse 33. It says, knowing what was done in her, there was no doubt of what happened inside of her. And guess what happened after that? Her issue stopped. Why? Because when God takes care of the outside follows. That reflection's on the outside. That's what happens. When a person gets Jesus Christ inside of them, the outside starts changing too. Because then God can start dealing with the issues. But it can't deal with the issues as long as you're going to keep coming to him with the plague. But all everybody wants to see is the issue.
That's right.
They don't want to let go of it. Look past that. Look beyond that. Hey, if you can't get a hold of Jesus Christ, if you can't get a hold of being saved, you need to do something different. I'm telling you. Let go of the issues. Start believing what God has to say. It's not working where you're at. It's not happening for you. There's a reason why. What's that reason? Jesus didn't just deal with her issue. He got to the root of the real problem. He got to the plague, her sin nature. Once the inside was dealt with, the outward followed. And I'm just telling you, as I stand up here tonight, man can't even deal with a person's issues. For sure, he can never deal with the plague of a person's heart. It's going to take the miracle of Jesus Christ. What about that plague tonight? Are you willing to see that plague? It's painful. It hurts. Because I'm going to tell you this. God opens those scabs back up. God scrapes those things. And when that stuff you start seeing, it hurts. Are you willing to take that pain? Are you willing to take what he's got to show you about yourself? Are you willing to take, hey, the pride? Pride. Pride casts the devil out of heaven. That same pride keeps most people from salvation.
Sure.
God wants, that may be your plague. That may be that very thing that you keep trying to come to God with, and he's not going to compromise with that in you. He's not going to. Talking to Pastor today, God wouldn't blink a half an eye to throw you in hell tonight. Just wouldn't do it. He's not going to compromise his holiness and his righteousness. That was that his choice? No, it was not. It's yours. His choice was to go on that cross. And his choice was to go ahead and take all the vile, most vile things of you, that plague inside of you, and he's willing to take that thing upon himself, as Isaiah 53 said, and give you his virtue. Me and my wife are talking, and I'm going to close with this. Just what God has done in my life in the past 6.5 years, it's something that I would never in a million years could have ever thought that could have happened.
Right.
I'm not rich, you know, I'm broke. My roof is caving in at home. We drive cars that are broke down, broke up. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, my friends. What I'm telling you about is this. What I'm telling you is the things that Jesus Christ has done inside me and my wife, when he's removed that plague from us, he started taking those issues from us. He started making us into what he wanted us to be. And I'm going to tell you something. There's not enough money in this world. There's not enough money in this world that can make you happy. There's not enough stuff in this world that can make you happy like Jesus Christ can. Hey, I was an addict, man. I love to speed. Woo! I like to get up and go, man. I like to sniff. I like to burn it, shoot it, snort it, man, whatever. You give it to me, and I was off and running. He used to call me the speed demon because I love to be a speed. But let me tell you this right now. There is not a drug in this world that gives me a high like Jesus Christ does. I chose to feel him in my life. I chose to get that prayer alive. I chose to feel his power in my life and see what he does. I'm just telling you now, there's not a drug in this world. There's nothing that can heal that plague like Jesus Christ can. There's nothing. I tell all the gang people, I work with a lot of gang members. I work with a lot of murderers. They're sitting across from me. I hug them, man, because I love them and they love me. I love them and they love me and they're my people. God gave me a people in there and I love them. And I sit there and I look at them and I can call them out. I know what they are. I'll just point at them. I say, you don't think God can deliver you from that game? You don't believe it. You just don't believe God can do that. You have a man sitting in front of you who got delivered from a violent gang, and you mean to tell me God can't do it for you? I tell the drug addict, you mean to tell me you have a man sitting in front of you who's been through countless rehabs and everything? You mean to tell me that God can deliver me from that, but he can't deliver you from it? I'm not in recovery. Just want you to know that I'm recovered. ED, it's over with. And God took that from me. You mean to tell me that those people sitting in front of me can't be delivered? They can't be recovered? Yes, they can. The problem is they don't believe it. It's a belief thing. America, their plague for most people is belief. They don't believe. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God can and will take that plague. He wants to if you'll just give it to him. Pastor, I'm done.